grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
And we're joined with Chris, all the way from The Hemp Store, right?
All right. Kia ora, Millie. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so good. It's a beautiful arvo out there, eh?
It is. It's stunningly nice here on Karangahape Road. I'm actually a bit trapped in the shop today, or I'd be down, but had a little moment to have a little vape outside in the medicating zone, so I'm ready to go.
Bless, bless, as we all need it.
I try my best.
You're repping hard out there.
Oh, yes. Hey, well, that actually leads me to the top story of the week, which is on workplace drug testing. So unlike the drug testing that I just did, which was testing my cannabis by vaping some, what we're talking about here is when nosy Parker employers decide to check people's pee and under some guise of it somehow improving workplace safety. This was an opinion piece that was in the New Zealand Herald a couple of days ago by Paul Jarvie of the Employers and Manufacturers Association, headlined, "Vigilance Still Needed on Workplace Drug Impairment." And the thing that really caught my eye in it, aside from thinking, what load of crap this is going to be, and sure enough, because he states, a positive drug test indicates a similar level of impairment as a failed blood alcohol test, and that person would be legally unable to drive.
Okay.
This is absolute crap. There is nothing in worker testing that has got any correlation with impairment or matching it to blood alcohol tests, and it does not at all indicate that someone would be legally unable to drive. And the best example of that is looking at how they test for cannabis, which is that they don't even test for the active ingredient. They do not look at what someone is in someone's system while they were high. They test for the inactive metabolite that remains for weeks or months afterwards, called THC-COOH. It's non-psychoactive, inactive, but it hangs around in the body, and it's purely a choice to test for that because it hangs around, rather than the active, which would be gone when someone straightens up. They could test for impairment, but they don't. They choose not to. They look for THC-COOH.
Oh, that is so frustrating. Because, you know, that's not based in anything the same as a blood alcohol test. Like, that's not based in anything.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's possible that he was confused with the driving legislation, but even then, that is not calibrated to blood alcohol testing. They tried. They gave that a go under the previous government, and they kind of abandoned it. And National are about to pass their law as soon as next week that is merely about detecting recent use. It's these tiny traces. But at least they're looking for the active on the driving one.
Yeah.
But it's such tiny amounts that it is not correlated with impairment.
So you're saying this can stick around for months?
In the published literature, they have people have tested positive at 4 months after their last use.
That is devastating.
I mean, imagine if it was the same with alcohol or any other thing, or fatigue.
Yeah.
Imagine if they went, oh, you were tired 4 months ago, therefore you're fired. I mean, come on.
Which, let's face it, directly impacts, you know, your performance.
Yes, well, fatigue would actually be the number one. But, of course, fatigue comes down to the employer working the people too hard and making them tired, so they don't want to look at that. So this guy, anyway, he quotes what he's calling the Imperans report, which is from the Drug Detection Agency. Now, this is just a private company founded by a bunch of former cops, which calls itself an agency and calls this report the Imperans report to try and look official. But it's just a private testing agency that have put out a press release on their stats from recent months. And what they found, of course, was that just about all the positives were cannabis. But 4.5% of the workplace testing that they did was positive, and cannabis was about 3/4 of that. You know, kind of like a big waste of time on everyone's part, because they're not finding impairment, and they're just having to to, you know, alienate their workers, demean them by making them, you know, submit bodily fluids or pee in front of people. And you know, what's worth bearing in mind is there is no law that authorises workplace drug testing, but there's at least three laws that would seem to prohibit it, which is the Bill of Rights, protecting against arbitrary search and other things, the Human Rights Act, protecting you from being demeaned and losing your dignity, and the Privacy Act, protecting your right to privacy. Workplace drug testing breaches all of those. Plus, of course, you have the actual only precedent case out there, which is Air New Zealand versus the CTU and EPMU. That went to the Supreme Court. It's quite a while ago now, but there's nothing else that's gone that high, so this is the precedent. Supreme Court looked at Air New Zealand, and you think, well, they're flying big planes around, hundreds of lives in those planes, you know, lots of, you know, potentially risky activities and things. But when they looked at Air New Zealand, they said, in terms of random testing, because random testing breaches all those laws that I've just said, you could only justify it in a safety-sensitive area. And safety-sensitive, when they applied that to Air New Zealand, was not the pilots, it is not the cabin crew, it's not the ground staff, it's not the baggage handlers, it's not the people towing the planes around on the tarmac or directing them where to go. It was only the engine dismantlers and repairers. That was it.
Are you kidding?
Because it's a high threshold. When you're breaching three laws and you have no law actually authorising it, you better have a very high threshold. So that's what the Supreme Court said. So if you apply that to your own workplace, you've got to think, well, if this was Air New Zealand and it's not the pilots and it's not the ground crew, but it's just the engine dismantlers, apply that to your own workplace and you'll probably find there's very few positions in most workplaces that would actually justify that. And therefore, if employers did it, they would risk legal action.
Yeah, and I think everyone needs to just be aware of that, because I feel like it's something that, you know, employers hang over people's heads. You know, we could drug test you at any point. And I think if you're clued up on, you know, what is wrong and what is right and what you can legally go for, just keep it in mind.
Exactly, yes. And what a work environment it creates for people as well, where your boss is telling you to go and pee in front of someone else and we're going to check your bodily fluid. They don't do that for anything else. But given that it doesn't actually measure impairment in the case of cannabis, the employer can't even say that they're meeting their legal responsibilities by doing it. Yeah. So you do have the Health and Safety and Employment Act. That would be the one thing that they could try and point to. That doesn't mention workplace drug testing at all in it, but you could try and argue, oh, well, we've got to have a safe workplace, therefore this is one way that we're going to do it. But if you're not even detecting impairment, you're not even meeting that obligation. And, you know, I think employers need to be aware when, you know, there's this high-profile thing with the former CEO of the Ports of Auckland, Tony Gibson, being convicted and fined like $500,000 personally for safety breaches in there. If an employer only relies on piss testing for cannabis and thinks, oh, this makes my workplace safe, they're actually not meeting their obligations, and if something happens, they could be personally prosecuted, just like Tony Gibson was. So it's behoven on them to actually do better. And as we've talked about multiple times, technology such as the Druid app will show up impairment no matter what the cause, without discriminating on, oh, this is an inactive metabolite that hangs around for months, we'll test for that. Well, Druid is more like, oh, you're fatigued, you're on prescription, you're on alcohol, whatever it is, it's going to show up in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, a much better thing for people to go for. But in terms of their rights, pre-employment, you don't have an employment contract at that point. There isn't really a lot that you can go on. It's sort of your choice whether you want to work for someone like that, I guess. Although, you know, times are tough and people might be pushed into things they don't want to do. But once you've got an employment contract and got a job, check that your contract actually complies with the law. And if it, even if it authorises drug testing and you've signed up for that, you may be able to push to get that changed or to get an alternative method out there. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't realise is that saliva testing is actually allowed in the workplace now for testing. And just like with the driving, saliva testing will typically just show up use in the last kind of 4 to 12 hours, might be 24 hours or a little bit longer. But it's certainly better than weeks or months. So if you've got the option, go for saliva testing instead of urine testing. And of course, join your union, because there's more support through the union. And it was, of course, the union that took on Air New Zealand and got that Supreme Court case. And if you're using it for a therapeutic reason, including, you know, fatigue and getting a good night's sleep, go get a prescription, because then you have a legal defense for that. And just like any other prescription drug, you know, if you're on an opiate painkiller, and they do piss testing, you're going to show up as someone on opiates. But that doesn't mean you're automatically fired. It just means you say to the boss, oh, yeah, I take this painkiller. Mm. So, you know, medical cannabis falls under that category. You might fail the test, but then at least you have a justifiable reason and something that you can work around with your employer.
Totally. I mean, we've been talking about the airport a lot in Air New Zealand. We've got an airport story here.
Yeah, this was interesting, eh? So this was stuff this week exposing a smuggling pipeline, or so they said. And this was some gangs and organised crime using small regional airports to shift drugs down south and the money back up north. And to anyone who's got on a plane that isn't just going to Wellington or Christchurch, you've probably noticed, oh, hey, there's no security. And
absolutely
you just jump on the plane.
None. There's
I personally
none.
Find it a much better experience. I hate the stress of going through the security things, and it's quite nice getting on the smaller ones, and you just get on, and you think, oh, yeah, this is just like getting on a train or a bus. You don't get searched going on then. So stuff went to Simeon Brown, the Minister of Transport, as well as the CAA, and Civil Aviation Authority, asking some leading questions about, well, hey, what are you going to do about it? When are you going to put in all this full-on security and, you know, maybe we'll do some anal probes for everyone getting on the plane or, you know, whatever else they're thinking. To their credit, Simeon Brown of the CA said, no, the airport security's job is airplane safety. It's yeah, things around hostage taking and, you know, endangering the plane. It's not drug law enforcement.
Oh,
and
totally.
That is the police's job. And if the police don't want to hang around at the airport doing it, they ain't going to do it for them. So I thought, good on them for actually resisting this leading line of questions, because trying to, you know, trap them into saying, oh, yeah, of course, we're going to, like, you know, search everyone getting on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So putting it into a bit of context of saying, well, actually, just because you're at an airport and getting on a plane doesn't mean you give up all your rights. You're not consenting to being searched simply because you choose to fly a plane. And and these things have to be risk-based and proportionate. And so good on them.
Good
and,
on
it's
them.
Actually the same, great timing, because the exact same thing just happened in America this week. This was the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency, who, of course, we've all seen on TV and that going hard and doing all their big busts and raids all around the world and that. Well, they've been ordered to stop searches and drug dog sniffing of passengers on airplanes, trains and buses. Ordered to do that as of this week.
Right.
And with that exact same thing, that citizens do not give up their rights simply by choosing public transport.
Interesting. I mean, it's an interesting argument because, yeah, you can get on a bus and you can get on a bus from, like, you know, Wellington to Auckland and you don't get, you know, there's no precedence of you getting searched.
Yes, exactly. Well, here, yes, but of course in America, it was quite well known that the DEA would hang around the old Greyhound bus depots with dogs and things and search people.
Yeah.
Or go along the trains and things. So they've been ordered to stop that. And, you know, you can't just presume someone's guilty and demand to search them or sniff the air around them simply because of the form of transport that they're taking.
That's true. Innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
Exactly. Hmm.
Good on that. Some good news anyway. Some good news there, I thought.
Yeah.
Some not so good news in the medical cannabis industry. Another medical or licensed medical company's gone into liquidation. This is Medical Kiwi, who were based down in the South Island. And the press and also NBR have covered that this week. They noted Medical Kiwi had been in trouble with the Financial Markets Authority over some misleading claims during their Pledge Me fundraiser.
Ooh.
Sad news for them. And they did have a clinic in Nelson as well, so I'm guessing some patients down there are probably looking around for another clinic. Hopefully there aren't too many creditors and employees caught up in that that might be owed money. And on some slightly better news, which was that Puro, another South Island medical cannabis company, has got sealed the deal, according to the New Zealand Herald, to distribute what they're calling Kakariki Koha.
Oh, cool.
Which translates as green gift. But this is in Australia, not New Zealand, unfortunately. So it's another one of these examples where they can grow the cannabis here, they can export it to Australia, it can be sold in Australia, but it doesn't meet New Zealand's extraordinarily strict standards. And so even though it's produced here, it cannot be sold here.
Which is so crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
It is. And Pure, of course, were the recipient of $13 million of taxpayer money So that's obviously given them a bit of a boost to get that going. CEO said that that's what made it possible. This, of course, was apparently the publicity at the time. It was supposed to be this 13 million was supposed to produce a grow guide and breeding genetics for the industry. The rest of the industry, when I asked around, no one had asked for that. No one wanted their genetics, I don't think, but, or needed a grow guide, to be honest. But that's what the money was for. But it ended up going into making a product for Australia. They also talked about that, that one of the reasons why they couldn't do it here was because we don't have a GMP packing facility. And that really is the missing link. If there was a facility here that was open to everyone in the industry and that could take their product and GMP pack it, and then all of a sudden it would be able to be sold here. But it really is the missing link.
Right.
And I can't help but thinking that would have been a great thing to spend that $13 million on.
Wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Would have been
then
great.
Then we'd all benefit. We'd all benefit and products would be sold here. So, but good on them. Good on them. I shouldn't be too down. Good on them.
Good on them. And we've got a final little bit of good news, I think.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
This is great news.
New studies come out at University of California, San Diego. They looked at an ethnically diverse sample of over 3,000 older adults, average age 74. And this was looking at the risk of hypertension and high blood pressure and published in the journal Frontiers in Cardiovascular Medicine. What they found after looking at all those people, neither recent nor lifetime...
Oh, no. We've lost Chris.
Quite surprised some people, but it's actually possibly even the other way around. Cannabis tends to lower your blood pressure, so it's probably even associated with a lower blood pressure, which might be something, you know, cause for concern for some people. You don't want to get your blood pressure too low.
No.
But good to know that it's not going to go the other way. Normal over there was saying, well, this is actually quite relevant because we're since cannabis has gone legal all around America and even here in New Zealand with the medical, the main growth has been older people. Particularly, you know, 50 and over basically is sort of the main growth of the extra people that are coming back to cannabis or trying it for the first time. And so these older adults might find it reassuring that when they're turning to cannabis to manage their age-related symptoms like pain, anxiety or sleep and finding that it improves their quality of life, so it's quite reassuring to know that, you're not going to have hypertension as a cost of that.
That's really good. I mean, I saw that news and I was like, yay, that is great. Because the more research we have, the more pieces of the puzzle we can put together, you know.
That's right.
And say, it's great for this, it's good for that.
That's right, yeah. And, I mean, after decades of only funding research to look at negative things, you know, so it's quite good that especially in America now that it's legal in most places, you get this kind of research coming out that is answering questions that should have been answered decades ago.
Exactly.
But all that research was tied up in just finding bad, 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 or law enforcement, or throwing people in prison and this sort of thing. So one of the benefits of legalization is you actually get much better research coming out that answers some of these fundamental questions that we should have known the answers to a long time ago.
Exactly. What's coming out, Chris?
Another good study. Lastly, another good study.
Oh, we've got another good study.
Oh, we've got to have some good things to end the show. 90% of state-registered patients in Florida reported that cannabis relieves their anxiety, depression, or chronic pain.
Yay! Oh, that is amazing. 90%.
90% is incredible.
90%.
Top 10. Do you want a top 10?
Yeah, go on.
This is the most frequently reported reasons for using cannabis. In order, anxiety, chronic pain, depression, PTSD, migraine, fibromyalgia, ADHD, bipolar, high blood pressure, and cancer.
Wow.
There you go. And overall, as I say, 90% find that symptom relief. So that's very good.
Oh, that is incredible. Great news.
Yeah. So, hey, if people are thinking, ooh, that's me. I want some of that. come on down to the shop tomorrow. It's Dak Friday, of course. It's been Dak Friday all month, I think. I keep seeing every bloody retailer in town by Dak Friday. Apparently, it's tomorrow. It's the official Black Friday. So it's officially Dak Friday.
Dak Friday. Love it.
And so we've got the doctors here 12 to 4:20. People want to come on down and get their prescription. If the queue is running too long or for whatever reason you can't make it, just give us a ring or pop in, leave your details, and we'll get the doctors to call you back at a suitable time, and you can do it online or over the phone.
Good stuff. Oh, that is so exciting. And we've got J-Day right around the corner.
That is. That is next Saturday, the 7th of December. Oh, my goodness. So next week, it's actually December, would you believe?
Oh, my gosh.
But just before that, on Thursday, we have the final first Thursday for the year. This is the Meri Keramahiti K-Road Merry Christmas first Thursday. It's actually the best one of the year, I've got to say. It's going to go off. It's Thursday the 5th. We have the Drug Foundation in here in the shop doing free substance checking for people if they want to get their stuff checked out before the New Year's and festival season and things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, as we said, Saturday the 7th, we'll see you in Albert Park for J-Day. It's going to be epic.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you to the Hemp Store. Everyone head along there, and we'll see them all at J-Day, won't we?
That's right.
That's right. Well, thank you, Chris, and we'll catch you next week.
Cheers, buddy.
Bye.
See ya.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.